couple of weeks ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago, when we went out to Colorado and visited with Sally's family and cousins from Texas, and they were from all over. And one of the things one night at dinner, after dinner, we were all sitting around talking, and somehow a conversation came up called, "Can you find the camel?" in a photograph, or an artist rendition, not a photograph, but an artist rendition. And they showed us this picture. An artist had put together a mosaic of animals, speaking of the zoo and the visit to the zoo, ties right in. They said, "Can you find the animal?" And of course, I saw the elephant on the forehead right away. And we spent, some people hours, some people days, some people never could find the camel. And some folks found it right away. And when they would find it, it was, "How can you not see that? Like, it's right there, right in front of you." And I struggled for hours trying to find the camel as I looked on that artist's rendition over and over and over. And eventually I saw it. But once I saw it, you can't miss it again. And I thought, that's a little bit like God. That sometimes we struggle to see him, to know where he is. But once you find him, it's easy to find after that. So for those struggling to find the camel, a little cheat sheet here. I don't have hours. We can't wait here all day to find the camel. And I said to somebody, "Oh, that's cheating. That's a tiny little animal compared to all of the other animals that are out there." But it got me to thinking a little bit about Reverend James's message last week, when she talked about, and I have trouble with his name, what is it? Jafosinat? It sounds like an ingredient on the back of a shampoo. But nonetheless, we'll call him Joe. When the Lord called him into battle and he saw what he was facing, he said, "Are you crazy? There's no way we can do this." And I thought about that in life. Life can create situations where we just find ourselves in a fog. Whether it's a fog of pain or suffering, the loss of a job, temptations, fear, whatever it might be. And like looking for that camel in that mosaic, it's hard to find God sometimes in that fog. How could it be? And as I put this message together, it was really motivated by a question that I received that I couldn't answer, which is why? Why would I suffer through the pain or the suffering or the temptations and the fear? I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And why do Christians suffer? And it's a tough question to ask. It's been out there forever. Why do good people have bad things happen to them? Why do bad people have good things that happen to them? And God's infinite wisdom, we can't ever begin to understand. But it began me on a search this week for my message. And I thought, how do we understand that God is with us at all times? He's there in that picture, just like that camel. He was there before we saw it, he's there after we saw it, and he'll be there forever. But it's our awareness sometimes that we find ourselves in that fog of darkness where we sometimes don't quite understand where is God. So, Jesus shared a lot of his messages through stories and through parables. And I'm going to try to do the same. This is a story of the Spafford family, and I didn't know anything about them until I started to put this program together, or this message. And it struck me that in the darkest moments of their life, they were able to see the hope that God provides us, the peace that they needed at the time they needed it most, the transformation that was provided in their lives. And as a result of events that happened 150 years ago, we are blessed today in a Christian church with what happened to the Spafford family And I'm going to try to do this with a little soft background music. We'll see how this goes. The story begins in Chicago, Illinois, in 1873. Horatio Spafford and his wife, Anna, had suffered through the fires of the Great Chicago Fire in 1871. They had struggled because he was a successful business person, real estate attorney and real estate investor, and all of it had been wiped out in the Great Chicago Fire. Over the next 2 years, they had tried to put things back together, and after the stress, they decided somehow they were going to cobble the money together to spend Christmas in Paris in 1873. So in mid-November, Anna Spafford loaded up her four children, Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tatiana. Horatio intended to be with them on that morning, but unfortunately he couldn't go because of some business dealings, and he was going to catch the next ship that would leave from America to Europe, and said, "I'll be there, I'll join you for Christmas." So Anna loaded her four children up, they got on the deck, and as they pushed off to head across the seas, they waved to their dad and said goodbye. 2 or 3 days later into that journey, it was a clear, starlit night. The seas were calm. They were a day and a half away from their destination. Anna said the prayers with her children, put them down in their beds, and said goodnight. She said her prayers and went to sleep. And as they all four lay there, at approximately 2 a.m. on November 23rd, 1873, the ship that was carrying 313 passengers from Chicago headed to Paris, ultimately, was hit by a freighter sailing out of England. The jolt awakened everyone. They all ran to the deck to find out what was going on. The captain of the ship said, "There's nothing to worry about. Nothing's going to happen. We've got life preservers. We've got life rafts." 12 seconds later, the ship cracked in half, and a huge wave overtook everyone on the ship, and a whirlpool began. Anna grabbed for her children. The two oldest were swept away. Other passengers attempted to grab them. She didn't know what happened to them as she clung to her youngest, the 5-year-old and the 2-year-old, Bessie and Tatiana. But she couldn't hold on any longer. The seas took away her last two children. We only know this because hours later she was rescued by the crew of the other ship. They found her floating on some debris, unconscious. And when she came 2 hours later, she asked about her children. They said, "We don't know, but we don't think they survived." Her first thought was to throw herself back into the sea. "I can't go on. I can't live. That's my life." But they convinced her that God was with them and to stay strong. And they sailed into the port of Wales, where they dropped her off. She, among some other survivors, would telegram back to their loved ones who had heard about the incident. Her telegram simply said, "Safe, period. Alone, period," as the message she sent to Horatio back in Chicago. He didn't know what to do. It was 4 days before he could catch the next ship, go join her and comfort her. And he scribbled out a note to a friend. And he said, I must keep my faith. As he loaded his luggage and got on the ship, they headed across the seas. On the fourth day out, while Horatio was in his bunk, all of a sudden the engines of the ship cut off. And the captain sent someone down to his berth and said, come up. We need to talk to you. And he made his way up to the captain's quarters. And the captain said, we have stopped where the accident happened. At the gravesite of your children. They fully expected that he would make his way to the edge of the boat and look down at the watery grave of his four children, his entire family. But he didn't. He writes later that something overcame him. He looked up and he said a peace came over him like he's never had before. He made his way back to his bunk. He got a piece of paper out. And he began writing the feelings that God had placed on his heart. He scribbled out, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roil, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in the part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpets shall sound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Unbeknownst to him, at about the same time, Anna, awaiting for his arrival, had strolled down to the wharf and was holding on to the railing, looking out into the ocean, not knowing how she was going to continue, still harboring all those thoughts that she wanted to give up and throw herself into the sea and join the four bodies that she had given life to. And at that moment, she too had a feeling that she couldn't explain, that she later told her husband about when he arrived. And she said, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden there was a peace that came over me when I looked up and started praying. They reunited, made their way back to the United States, and over the next few years had two more children. A little boy named Horatio Jr. and another daughter. Tragedy hit again. Their son died when he was 2 years old of scarlet fever. They had a third daughter after the tragedy, initial tragedy, and both of those daughters survived. They felt so compelled by the call of the Lord after what they had gone through. He quit his business. They picked up everything they had in Chicago and made their way to Jerusalem, where they started a Christian colony that would help individuals that were going through tragedies in their life, regardless of their background, regardless of their means, regardless of their religion. They said they felt called to transform others' lives in the same fashion that the Lord had transformed theirs. And with that, even to today, there is a foundation that was continued by their oldest daughter and continued again by her children that still is there today, the Spafford Foundation. His scribbled words on that notepad became the song that we will end our service with today, "It Is Well With My Soul." I think it takes on a whole new meaning, knowing the background of the story of those who wrote it. And I thought, last week when Reverend James talked about turning our eyes to Jesus, where is he? And Horatio Spafford looked up. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God is in heaven. There's multiple scripture passages that talk about God in heaven and sitting at the right hand of our Father in heaven. But he also gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Son who died for our sins. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to give us comfort when we need it most, when we can't figure out through that fog and that despair. Like Horatio Spafford, who had lost his entire family, looked up and said, "God, please help me." It's not always answered as quickly as we like, and we may not ever understand why tragedies happen or befall us. But don't ever give up. Give encouragement to those that you associate with, your family and your friends, that you see in that fog. Give them encouragement that God is there amidst the fog. He's waiting. He's always there, waiting for each and every one of us. And I'm going to end by rereading some of the scripture that Sally read. "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with what? All your heart and all your soul. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." He's saying to us, there's times on this earth where we can't figure it out. It's not logical. And we want it to be logical. It doesn't make sense, God. Why does this happen? And he says, there's unsearchable things that you do not know. But don't ever give up. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock on that door and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Amen.